May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Many of us may have been through what could be described as stormy times in our lives. Rough times when we felt overwhelmed by fear, bewilderment, or suffering, whether that's caused by outside circumstances or inner anxieties. And I'm aware that there are some people here who may be going through some such experience at the moment. We may be tempted at such times to cry out to God, "Don't you care?" Just as the disciples cry out to Jesus in our gospel reading, when the storm rages and the sea threatens to destroy them all. Where is God in the midst of the storms we face? And can we trust him? Let's look at our gospel reading this morning and reflect on what it says to us. Mark gives us a very vivid account of the disciples' experience of the storm. It begins with Jesus and his disciples setting off in a fishing boat, and there's no mention of a storm as they leave the shore. But sudden storms were very common on Lake Galilee, and we're told a great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. The disciples, of course, were seasoned fishermen, and they were used to sudden storms on the lake. But it seems they are driven to panic and despair by the force of this particular storm. Now, perhaps we may be able to imagine the scene, or perhaps other experiences of storms may come to mind. When I was pondering this story, I recalled scenes from the 1990s film The Perfect Storm, which some of you may have seen. It tells the true story of a fishing vessel from Gloucester, Massachusetts, which was caught up in a dreadful storm in the Atlantic. The boat was destroyed and all the crew lost. And many of the scenes are terrifying. The sea can indeed be a dreadful thing. As the disciples face the violent power of the sea, and as they panic and despair of life, what is Jesus doing? Incredibly, he is asleep on the cushion in the stern of the boat. Only Mark's gospel has this little detail of the cushion, and it suggests an eyewitness, a vivid eyewitness account of one of the disciples on board. It's one of my favorite details in the gospel. Jesus is asleep on a cushion as the storm rages around. It's a wonderful illustration of Jesus' trust in God, his Father. While the disciples panic, he trusts in God's care. But the disciples don't see it as a picture of trust, but rather one of indifference to their plight. And they rouse him roughly, shouting, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" In Matthew's account of this story, these words are softened to a prayer, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And in Luke's account, the disciples simply state, "Master, Master, we are perishing." But here in Mark's gospel, their cry is stark, desperate, and perhaps even angry. "Don't you care?" If we're honest, there may be times when we are going through a stormy time and we don't just cry out to God for help, but we indignantly rail at him. "Don't you care that this is happening?" Is God indifferent to our sufferings? Does Jesus care what is happening to the disciples? The disciples seek to rouse the sleeping Jesus with their sharp words, and perhaps also they roughly shake him to wake him up. I'm reminded of some words in Psalm 44 addressing God, which say, "Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake and do not cast us off forever." The psalmist wonders, does God care and will he do anything? The disciples in the boat wonder, does Jesus care and will he do anything? And at times, we too may wonder, does God care and will he do anything? Well, of course, after the disciples frantically wake Jesus in the face of the violent wind and waves, he does do do something. He stands and rebukes the wind and speaks to the sea, "Peace, be still." And there is a great calm. The same Greek word for the great is used for the gale and for the calm. After rebuking the wind and the waves, Jesus then rebukes his disciples. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith or trust?" Faith or trust can be seen in two ways in this story. The disciples and we ourselves are called to have a trust like Jesus, who can sleep as the storm rages about him because he trusts in God's providential care. But the disciples and we ourselves are also called to have a trust in Jesus as the one who has the power to calm the storm. And the disciples, having seen the great gale transformed into a great calm, are then filled with a great awe as they wonder, "Who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who can control the sea?" The Israelites feared the sea and they saw it as a symbol of chaos, destruction and evil. Only God could control the sea. As we read in our Old Testament reading, when God answers Job from the tempest, he speaks of the marvel of creation, including the sea, and then says that God alone is the one who prescribes bounds for the sea and set bars and doors and said, "Thus you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stopped." So the disciples see in Jesus' power over the sea the divine power of God. Who then is this? The disciples ask. In a very early incident in Mark's Gospel, Jesus casts out an unclean spirit using the same words, "Peace, be still," as he does here to the sea. And at that point, the Gospels then question, what is this? A new teaching with authority? But now the big question focuses on the person of Jesus. They are no longer asking, what is this? But who is this? Who can calm the destructive power of the sea except God? So who is this Jesus? The question, who is this Jesus, is the overwhelming question which comes up again and again in the Gospels. We need to see the calming of the storm as part of the wider ministry of Jesus. The one who calms the storm also brings peace and wholeness to those who are sick, troubled and afraid. We see this many times in the stories throughout the Gospels. And of course, ultimately, Jesus confronts and defeats all the forces of sin, evil and death through his own death and resurrection. There are other storms beyond storms at sea. In the very next story of Mark's Gospel, Jesus brings peace and calm to the Gadarene demoniac, a man so tormented in his mind that he is bruising himself with stones. We too can face storms of different kinds. Sometimes we may face storms that come from outside circumstances, situations which, like the sea, become out of control and threaten to overwhelm us. We may also experience storms within ourselves. We can feel swamped and overwhelmed by anxiety, anger, fear, or despair. And most of us can expect some kinds of storms or difficulties at some point during our lives. How do we respond to such storms? Perhaps we may panic. We may even cry out to the Lord, "Don't you care?" His reply to us, as to the disciples in the boat, is, "Have you still no faith? Don't you trust me yet?" And learning to trust Jesus isn't just something we have to do once, but repeatedly. It's certainly a lesson that I've had to learn again and again and again. I may learn it during one storm, but I have to learn it again when the next storm comes. If we do trust Jesus in stormy times, then what will he do? Well, hopefully, the more we learn to trust Jesus, the more we will hear his words, peace, be still, calming our turmoil, our doubts and fears. But there is no promise that he will immediately make all storms simply die down. Christians are certainly not promised protection from suffering. We need to learn to trust God in the midst of the ongoing storm. Many people have faced the painful reality that they pray and pray, but the storm, whatever it is, continues to rage about them. The storm doesn't die down. Then perhaps we need to remember Jesus asleep on the cushion in the midst of the storm. Whatever we face, God is with us and calls us to trust him. The first readers of Mark's Gospel knew this. Those early Christians faced storms of violent persecution, and they must have drawn great comfort from this story of the calming of the storm, trusting that Jesus was with his church even through terrible times. As one commentator puts it, in the midst of persecution and all manner of perils, if Jesus be truly with his church, then even though his help may not at once be felt, his own must never doubt him and need have no fear. He also points out that in the very early days, there was a tradition in the church of seeing the ship as a symbol for the church. We can trust that Jesus is with us and with his church, even though there may be storms of different kinds yet to face in this life. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we do have a promise that ultimately all that is threatening, chaotic, and evil will be destroyed forever. In the vision of the new heavens and the new earth in the book of Revelation, we're told that sea will be no more. What that means is everything that is painful, chaotic, and destructive will be banished. I'm reminded of a wonderful phrase in the hymn, I Cannot Tell, which the musicians are going to play as we go out at the end of the service. I cannot tell how all the lands will worship when at his bidding every storm is stilled. But for now, let us pray as we will sing in our final hymn today. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea. May we learn to trust like Jesus, asleep on the cushion in the midst of the storm. And even when we do panic and cry out, don't you care? May we hear his voice speak to us. Why are you afraid? Don't you trust me yet? I pray that as individuals and the church, we will learn more of who Jesus is and learn to trust him day by day.